so grateful.
Hallelujah. For all that God has done for you and I in the month of June, you want to lift up your hands and appreciate Him. You want to say, Lord Jesus, we thank you. And we know you are just getting started. We are grateful. We give you praise and glory. We give you honor and adoration. We magnify and exalt you. Thank you for all the testimonies shared. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done. We thank you for what you are doing. And I give you all the praise for what you are going to do. I exalt your name, Daddy. I magnify your righteous name. There is none like unto you. We give you thanks and praise. We give you glory and honor. We give you all adoration. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Give him thanks this morning. Give him all praise this morning. Give him all adoration. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks. And the Lord started something with us yesterday, and he said it's just getting started. Because we are not done yet. Glory to God. It's just getting started. It started yesterday. It's going to continue next month. And it's going to continue again and again and again. For that testimony, lift up those hands again and give him thanks. Give him praise. Give him glory. Lord, we thank you. We are not taking it for granted. We are not taking it lightly. We exalt your name. Blessed be your holy name. Father, we thank you. Lord, we exalt your name. In Jesus' most marvelous name, we have prayed. Amen. Overcomer's voice, we are going to sing this song. Thank you, Jesus, for all the things that you have done. Thank you, Jesus,
for the grace that you have given us. We could never repay you, but from our hearts we like to say that
we
thank you. Somebody lift your voice and say thank you, Jesus, given us. We could never repay, but from our hearts we like to say that we attend. Lift your voice and say thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We give you praise.
Father, we thank you for everything you have done. We thank you for everything you are doing. We thank you for all you will do. Nothing comes from us. You are the doer of every good thing. Because every good and every perfect gift is from you. The Father of light, in whom there is no variableness, neither any shadow of turning. We have returned as a church to say thank you for the month of June. You have done us well. And you are just getting started. And we know that in the month of July, there will be more testimonies.
Amen.
Thank you, eternal Father. We give you praise and glory. In Jesus' most precious name, we have given thanks.
Amen.
Help me salute your neighbor on your right and left. Congratulate them. Tell your neighbor it's a new day for you. Glory to God. And please be comfortably seated. Hallelujah. teaching series that we are rounding off today, Understanding the Blessedness of a Revival, Part 4A. Understanding the Blessedness of a Revival. That we understand that the midst of the year is the midst of a revival. We are in the midst of the year, which means we are in the midst of a revival. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 2 to 6. It says, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid. He said, O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. And he said, in the midst of the years, make known. Make known what? In wrath, remember mercy. He said, God came. So in the midst of the years is the coming down of God. Every midst of the year, God comes down to tabernacle in the midst of his people. And the midst of a revival is the midst of the change of story, no matter how previously bad a man's story may have been. God changes the story of a man in the midst of a revival. Habakkuk chapter 3, 17 to 19, he said, this was their case before, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit bear in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. He said, the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice. Why? Because I know what will happen in the midst of a revival. I will rejoice. He said, I will what? I will joy in the God of my salvation. He says, the Lord my God is my strength. And then he will now give me feet like hinds' feet. It will make me to overtake all that has gone ahead of me. And it will make me to walk upon mine high places. The midst of the year is the coming down of God. And the coming down of God in the midst of the people is the changing of story in the midst of his people. Glory to God. Every time God appears, he does mighty things. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy, he will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. When the mighty God shows up, he does mighty things. And he shows up every time in the midst of a revival. In a revival, God is on the move. God is on the move in a revival. And in the midst of his move, he moves the people forward. God cannot be moving without the people moving. Glory to God. If there is a convoy now of a president or a prime minister, as the minister moves or the president moves, his convoy also moves with him. In the midst of a revival is the coming down of God. The coming down of God is the move of God. And in the move of God, the people of God are moved forward. Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 4. It said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. In other words, God has come down. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. You see that it's coming down, begins with the change of story of men. He says to proclaim acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. He says, I will comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes. He will exchange their ashes for beauty. He said, he will extend their mourning for joy. No one here will be heads will be cast down again. He said, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, he says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. In other words, if you are going to be associated with his name, your story must change. You can't boast of a child that is a disgrace to you. But he says, in the midst of a revival, I will change their story, not because of them, but because I need my name glorified. I want to glorify my name through your life. He says, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness. They will be called trees of righteousness that the Lord planted by the changing of their story. He said, and they shall build old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. They will begin, by the change of story, they will begin to do what they had never thought of doing before. And then in verse 7, it says they will also change their shame. For your shame, you will have double honor. and for confusion they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land they shall possess the double, and then joy will permanently be their portion. So we need to be spiritually awake to make the most of a revival. Remember, only those who are alive or who are awake will move. Except until we are awake, you can't move. If you are sleeping, they need to wake you up to move when they are moving. And if the army is moving and you are behind, it's dangerous. Jacob said in Genesis 28:16, and Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not. Why? Because I was sleeping. To see the light of revival shine, we must be awake. Ephesians 5 and verse 14, it said, wherefore it said, awake thou that sleepeth, awake thou that sleepeth, arise from the dead. When someone is sleeping, except God wakes him up, is as good as is dead. Arise, thou that sleepest. It says, arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. What is a revival? What is a revival? Number one, a revival is a move of the Spirit across the people of all ages, resulting in supernatural turnarounds. A revival is a move of the Spirit across all ages, resulting in supernatural turnarounds. In other words, a revival affects the young, a revival affects the middle-aged, a revival affects the old. That's why you see the young coming for noon hour of prayer. You see the middle-aged coming for noon hour of prayer. You see the old coming for noon hour of prayer, including the evening prayer hour. Why? Because in the midst of a revival, God is on the move. And the Spirit of God across all ages affects everyone and moves them for their own turnaround. Joel chapter 2, 28 to 29. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. It will not be limited to only a group of people. He said, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids, in those days will I pour out my Spirit. It will even affect those who are servants, your servants. It will affect everyone. In the midst of a revival, it is not a revival season is not a partial season. A revival season is to everyone that is ready for the move of God. Everyone that is ready. A revival affects the young, it affects the middle-aged, it affects the old. There is no age barrier in the midst of a revival. Isaiah 44, verses 3 to 5. He repeated the same thing. He said, I will pour out water upon him that is thirsty. It begins with thirst. For everyone that will be in the midst of a revival and enjoy the benefits of a revival, it begins with a thirst. And floods upon the dry ground. I will pour out my Spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring, and they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord and surname himself by the name of Israel. But it begins with a thirst. A revival affects all thirsty age group members. Everyone that is thirsty. Nothing may be happening before a revival, but in the midst of a revival, everything changes. Some things will change for you this month. Before this revival is over, some things will change in your life. Isaiah 32, 13 to 15. Upon the land of my people shall come up thorns and briars, yea, upon all the houses of joy in the joyous city, because the palaces shall be forsaken. The multitude of the city shall be left. The forts and towers shall be for dens and forever. A joy of wild asses, a pasture of flocks, until the Spirit be poured out upon us from on high. It was nothing until the Spirit came. Nothing was happening. Your life may look colorless. In the midst of a revival, it suddenly turns colorful.
That is the mystery of a revival. He said they were forsaken. As a matter of fact, go back to that scripture in verse 14. He said, because the palaces shall be forsaken, the multitude of the city shall be left. Now, the forts and towers shall be dense forever. Forever. It has been, it is meant to be forever, but the Spirit of God can change anything. He said, when the Spirit now came, until the Spirit be poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness be a fruitful field, and the fruitful field be counted for the forest. That means this revival will not just affect you. It will affect everyone that is associated with you. Ah, I didn't hear your amen. Amen. It will affect everyone associated with you. You are not the only one that will be shining. In the midst of a revival, everyone associated with you will shine with you. For those who believe it. What is a revival? Number two, very quickly. A revival is a move of the Spirit that unleashes the spirit of prayer and supplication upon the people. A move of the Spirit that unleashes the spirit of prayer and supplication upon the people of God. We are in a revival when the spirit of prayer is unleashed upon all people. People just begin to pray on their own. In their car, while they are driving, they are praying. And while they are having their bath, they are praying. It does not. There is no limit. There is no place that says pray here. They pray everywhere. The spirit of prayer is unleashed in a revival, and then people begin to pray everywhere. Zechariah 12 and verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication. So it will be grace for supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness of him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. You need to see the people showing up to pray these past few weeks. Glory to God. It's a revival season when the spirit of prayer and supplication comes on the people, resulting in salvation of souls and explosive church growth. And those who come to pray that you have never seen before, you give them the microphone, you are shocked. Like, what? This person can pray like this? Man, woman, everyone, young, old. The spirit of prayer and supplication upon his people, on being unleashed on his people to pray everywhere. Zechariah chapter 8, verses 20 to 23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall come to pass that there shall come people. Is this scripture being fulfilled? There shall come people. There shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. What are they coming to do? He says, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. He said, I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass. Then when that happens, 10 men shall take hold of the hold of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Those, you will begin to see some changes in your life now that will be drawing people to church. Amen. Your amen is weak. Why? They will be seeing those changes. What is your secret? It's prayer house. The prayer house. And then they will follow you to the prayer house. And then they also will begin to see changes in their lives. That you don't need to pray for. You don't need to invite anyone. Based on your testimony, they will just follow you. I want to. Why didn't you invite me to church? You have not invited me to church now. They will be inviting themselves to follow you to seek your God. That will be your testimony. Amen. I said that will be your testimony. Amen. What is the revival? Number three. Now that the Spirit of God moves the people to pray, what are they praying for? Number three. When praying for the kingdom is the delight and not praying for self. praying for the kingdom. We are talking about people praying, unleashing, God unleashing the spirit of prayer on the people. They are not praying for themselves, technically. They are praying for the kingdom. And in praying for the kingdom, indirectly praying for themselves. Matthew 6:6. Jesus said, you are missing it. They saw Jesus, that your own prayer is being answered. Why is ours not being answered? Jesus said, because you are missing the prayer protocol. He said, this should be your prayer protocol. He says, but thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which is in secret shall reward thee what? Openly. But this is how you should pray. Verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and then thy kingdom come. Pray kingdom advancement prayers first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, before you remember yourself. And this is how you should pray it. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Pray without ceasing. Pray it subconsciously. Pray it consciously. Never stop praying. ERV translation, it says, never stop praying. That means never stop praying for the kingdom. Praying for the kingdom includes praying for other brethren. They are part of the kingdom. You are praying. You are not just praying for the church. In praying for the church, remember, the people of the church are the church. You are praying for the members. You are praying for people. Glory to God. It is not praying 1 hour prayer for yourself that makes your prayer answer. It is praying 1 hour prayer for others and asking God to remember to give you your own daily bread. 2 minutes. Give me my daily bread. He was the one that came up with, give me my daily bread. He knows your daily bread includes everything that you could have asked for. Give us this day our daily bread. After we have prayed for the kingdom, you are going through a challenge. You see a member of the church going through the same challenge. You are praying for that person's story to change. Indirectly, you are doing it for yourself. You can't pray for somebody's story to change and then you remain there. Praying for the kingdom changes people's story. That is what the Spirit of God does in a revival. A prophet is always on the prayer altar. But this is his prayer point. Colossians 4:12. A prophet, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluted you, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Pray all the time, but pray for the kingdom. He said, a prophet, that is his ministry. He is always on the prayer altar, but his main delight is to pray for you. What is the revival? Number 4, when we have an undying passion to see souls saved. Undying passion to see souls saved. John 15:16, ye have not chosen, but I have chosen you and have ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Do this thing for me, and I will change your story. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of doing this. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, as a matter of fact, he placed a curse on himself. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jews first, and also to the Greek. And then Paul said, if I don't do it, I'm putting a curse on myself. 1 Corinthians 9:16, he says, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. And after we have done all this, what is in it for us? What is in a revival for us? Number 1, our lives are transformed in a revival. God comes in a revival. And when he comes, our lives are transformed. God comes in a revival and his coming transforms our lives. Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 7. He said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And he had anointed me to preach the gospel unto the poor. He had what? And to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance to them that mourn. And that is our season of revival. And then he said, what is in it for me? He said in verse 4, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. He says, and strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. And the sons of the alien shall be thy plowmen and your vine dressers. But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the ministers of our God. Ye shall eat the riches of the Gentiles. Oh, I thought I would hear an amen. And in their glory shall ye boast yourselves. For your shame you shall have double honor. In a revival, we begin to do what we could not do. We are turned to celebrities in a revival. Revivalists are turned to celebrities in a revival. Number two, what is in a revival for us? We are conferred with dominion in a revival. We are conferred with dominion in a revival. Every time we do what he says to do, then he gives us dominion over everything we should have been running after. Proverbs 11:30. The fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And there is something common with those who are wise. The wise are always in charge. The wise are always in charge. It says Proverbs 8:15-18. This is wisdom speaking. By me, kings reign and princes decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, even all the judges of the earth. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. And then it says, wisdom also accompanies riches and honor accompanies wisdom. There is no way you find wisdom that you will not find riches and honor. Riches and honor are with me. Yea, durable riches and righteousness. Now take a look at it. Kings are dominate. They, as a matter of fact, they have their dominion. So kings, he says, by me, kings, princes. Because if the prince of the king comes and tells you something to do, you do it. Princes rule by me. Princes rule and nobles and even judges. Once the judge says something and stamps it, it becomes law. Dominion. In fact, I've seen judges that don't just like your face. They said, you sound too rude. You have lost this case. Boom. The only thing you can do is to take it to a higher court. But for this court, you have lost. You won't lose. Amen. No one here will lose. Amen. It confers dominion on us. Dominion. On what we could have been running after, it gives us dominion over them. Number three, what is in a revival for us? Our needs are supernaturally met in a revival. Our needs are supernaturally met in a revival. You are praying for the kingdom, is meeting your needs. Luke 22:35. And he said unto them, when I sent you without pearls and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? And they said, nothing. We had a testimony at the Covenant Hour of Prayer. This person said, the job I took is now taking me out of church on Sundays too much. He said, I took a difficult decision. I called them. I said, I want to go on part-time because I can't be working on Sundays anymore. She said she went on part-time. And after going on part-time, she thought, well, it will probably affect her rating when she sat with her manager to discuss so things. The first thing, he said, yeah, your part-time has been approved. Second one, your pay has been increased. Third one, now we are putting you in a higher role. Why? Making a decision for the kingdom. And then all of a sudden, everything turning. Everything changing. Writing an exam and passing it. Everything changing because somebody made a decision to say, look, this thing is not working. I can't continue like this. I can't continue like this. Our needs are supernaturally met in a revival. They need not beg those who are in a revival. Matthew 6:33 becomes their portion. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And everything else that would have been running after will now be running after you. That will be somebody's testimony here. I said that will be somebody's testimony here. Philippians 4:15 to 19. Now ye Philippians know that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all, and I abound. I am full, received, having received of the Epaphroditus, the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Because you have made me first, and you didn't give me, you gave to God. Because you have given to God first, now my God shall supply all of your needs. Your needs are not just monetary. Your things includes things that money cannot buy. It is only someone who is alive that will spend money. It is somebody that has good health that will have power to spend the money. Your needs, my needs, includes, is not limited to just material needs. As a matter of fact, we need spirit. We need the things that money cannot buy better in order to enjoy the material ones. The Lord will give you understanding. Amen. I said the Lord will give you understanding. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. I've seen people who are sick on their sick bed, who are praying to God, Lord, take everything I have, but take away this sickness with it. They have everything. Take all that I have, but take this sickness also away. It is when you are alive that you can flex. Glory to God. May the Lord give you understanding. Amen. Well, we know also that today is our covenant day of marital breakthrough. And it is not a coincidence that we had a marital breakthrough yesterday and we are teaching marital breakthrough today. But one thing I'm sure of is that every challenged marital destiny will be terminated in this service today. Amen. Whatever name it is called, marital delays, marital crisis, please take note this morning. They are all raw oppressions of the devil. They are raw oppressions of the devil. And what makes it worse is that the victims may not even know that they are under oppression. Many victims of marital crisis especially don't even know that they are under oppression. Ephesians 6 and verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Rather than joining hands to fight the enemy, they are fighting themselves. Like I said yesterday, in those days, to be divorced was a taboo. But now, it is a norm. A man can just wake up one day and say, I'm leaving. A woman herself can wake up one day and say, I'm leaving. And except God comes back, except God holds that home, it is done. They don't know that they are under oppression. Whatever that is not a plan, that is not his plan, is the work of the enemy. If it is not his plan, then it is the work of the enemy. He said in Matthew 13:28. Now, I want you to pay close attention to this scripture. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. And the servant said unto him, will thou then that we go and gather them all? But what led to that scripture? Verse 27. While men slept, the enemy came. While men slept, 25, God bless you. While men slept, the enemy came. What is it talking about? It's talking about spiritual sleeping. sleeping spiritually, then the enemy comes. And that's why he said, in a revival, God comes to scatter the work that the enemy has done. Before the revival, they were sleeping, spiritually sleeping. When God came, take note, every child of God that desires to marry have the God-given heritage to be settled in marriage. Everyone, no matter your age, if you still desire to marry, there is nothing that God cannot do. Glory to God. 170-year-old man is now saying, so who will now marry me? There is a 60-year-old woman that has also lost her husband. She's also looking for a husband. And then God will connect the both of you together for the rest of your lives. I didn't hear amen. Yeah. Take note. Genesis chapter 2, 17 to 18. But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. Young or old, it is not good for the man to be alone. He said, I will make him an helpmeet for him. You don't deserve to be alone if you don't want to. If you don't want to. Nobody deserves to be alone. Being alone is not good. Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 11. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. He says, but woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? So what is the good? What is good? Proverbs 18, 22 is good. Whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Whoso findeth a wife. That makes marriage a good thing, and every good thing is our entitlement in Christ. Marriage is a good thing for anyone that desires it. It's a good thing for anyone that desires it. So we are talking to the singles right now. Marriage is a good thing for anyone and everyone that desires it. It's a good thing. Glory to God. I said glory to God. I saw the newly couple married coming into church today. The smile was different from yesterday. Why? Because marriage is a good thing. Glory to God. What makes marriage a good thing? Matthew 7, 11. God himself speaking. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that what? Ask him. You need to ask him. So that is where the desire comes in. For those who desire it, you ask for it, he puts it in your hands. No matter how hopeless your case is right now, the Lord will visit you. Amen. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Psalm 34 and verse 10. Therefore, everyone set for marriage, today is your day of deliverance. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Amen. Everyone set for marriage, today is your day of deliverance. God is about to settle someone maritally in this prophetic service. We'll see at 12 and verse 3, 13. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. So I speak to your life this morning, anyone that desires marriage in this service, it shall come to pass quickly. Amen. And anyone inside it now that needs it to be fixed, the Lord will visit with you. I said the Lord will visit with you. For those marriages going through storms, how can they be fixed? Let's take a look at some things. How can they be fixed? Number one, Repentance is a prerequisite to enjoy refreshing in marriage. Repentance first, refreshing next. Especially when that marriage was not found, has no foundation in Christ. Especially when that marriage has no foundation in Christ. Hebrews 13:4. It says something. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. So that means if the bed had been defiled before marriage, that may be the crack. The bed had been defiled before marriage. That's where the crack is. Because God cannot be mocked. There will be need for repentance. And you know the good thing about God? You repent, He refreshes. Yeah, on your computer, when something is going wrong and not something is that, you refresh. You repent, He refreshes. Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. So repentance that results in refreshing. For singles preparing for marriage, avoid that crack. Avoid that crack. You know, I heard something this morning from someone. They said they saw somebody who was praying every day, but they knew he was not a Christian. And they said, well, are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm a Satanist. Okay, so what are you praying for? We have a mission to destroy marriages. A mission to destroy marriages. That's their mission. And you can know that that's a demonic mission. So you know where they came from. Glory to God. Acts 17:30. And the times of this ignorance, God winked at. That is for those who are married already, who need repentance. For those who are singles. He said, but now commanded all men everywhere to repent. In other words, those who are married, when they ask for repentance, I've already forgiven them. But if you now knowingly go into it, you have already built, the building is not on a foundation. And any house that is not on a foundation cannot be fixed. You have to pull it down. Any house that is not sitting on a solid foundation cannot be fixed. No matter how you try to patch it, it won't stand. You need to pull it down and rebuild from the foundation. Number two, how can current marital storms be fixed after repentance? Seek light from the Word of God and through anointed books. Seek light. Daniel 9:2. Daniel said, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books. There are some challenges that will not require prayer. It just requires light. Some challenges don't require you to be praying. These challenges you are going through at home does not require you to be praying. It's just light. You don't pray to open a door. You need a key. No matter how you pray for that door to open, it won't open. Until you lay your hands on the key that will open the door end opening. Some discomforts at home just requires light and the application of that light. Knowledge of the truth that sets free. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:15, he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not ashamed to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Get light and walk in that light. Ecclesiastes 11:7. Truly, the light is sweet. Light is sweet, and a pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. Attend marriage seminars. Walk in the light you receive there. You know, some would rather go for a party than to go to marriage seminar. She's having challenges, serious challenges at home. They invited him. They invited her. Come for this marriage seminar. I've already told that person I will come for the party. Everywhere is quiet now. Glory to God. Get light. And part of the light was what we... Let's move on. How can current marital storms be fixed? Number three. Be careful not to rebel against the covenant. Be careful not to rebel against the covenant. Rebellion against the covenant will keep any marriage under tension. Psalm 68 and verse 6, look at what it says. God setteth the solitary in families. He bringeth out those that are bound with chains. But the rebellious dwell in the dry land. So, to destroy those chains, then follow the covenant. Follow, don't rebel against the covenant. So, the reason many are in chains in marriage is because of their rebellion against the covenant. What is that covenant? If you don't follow that order, where there is no order, there will be chaos. If the order is broken, you have broken the protocol. And when protocol is broken, what you will see is chaos. What is that covenant? Ephesians 5, 22 to 25. Wives, submit. You are earning more than he is, submit. You look too beautiful to have married him, submit. You saw him before you went into it. Oh, I was desperate at the time, submit. So would you not look for another husband? Submit. Glory to God. That is the protocol. Wives, submit unto yourselves, unto your own husbands. That you are the Anna does not mean you are the leader. That you are the topmost Anna does not make you the head. Glory to God. Because of time. Husbands, love your wives. I thought she would be, I didn't know she would blow up like this. Love your wives. How many understand what I'm talking about? All the hair that I saw at that time, that was here, all the hair is now gone. Love your wives. Glory to God. What I saw then, I'm not seeing again. Love your wives. You don't love her, there will be cracks. She will know you don't love her. Glory to God. If you are not ready to submit, it is rebellion against the covenant. If you are not ready to love as a man, your wife, it is rebellion against the covenant. And finally, number four, how can current marital storms be fixed? Be careful not to live apart. It is dangerous. Many will not love this one. They won't like what I'm about to say now. Huh? But I will still say it. The covenant says, the two have become one flesh. And sexual temptation is real. And living apart is a risk. If it leads to sexual immorality destroys. Anyone involved in it, beware, repent, it is dangerous. 1 Corinthians 7, 8 to 10. I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide, even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry. For it is better to marry than to burn. And unto the married I command you, yet not I, but the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Departing from a husband, put it there, please. Departing from a husband is not saying divorce the husband. It means, well, the ones that were born in, they decided to marry because they will go to their husband. Now, those who are married, let not the wife depart from her husband. You are doing, if it is for a moment, it is okay. If it is for a while, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, that's fine. But for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, it is dangerous, sir. It is very dangerous. Look at what Paul said. Okay, we read that already. Well, let's read this one too. 1 Corinthians 3, 16 to 18. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. Don't let people deceive you, and don't deceive yourself by thinking you are enjoying. You are actually digging your own grave. It is not good for your wife. It is not good for your children. Living apart is never good for the children. The Lord will give us understanding. Amen. I said the Lord will give us understanding. Amen. Rise up on your feet. And let's appreciate the Lord this morning. Let's give him praise this morning. Let's give him glory and honor and all adoration. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness and your mercy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Blessed and blessed be your name. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. All heads bowed and all eyes closed. Someone needs repentance in any area that we have talked about. First category, you don't even know Jesus at all, but you want to know him today. Second category, you did know him before, but you walked out on him. But now you want to return. Third category, your marriage must work. And you need repentance in any area. Why not this morning? Put your right hand on your heart. Let me pray with you. If in any of those three categories, look, don't deceive yourself. You know, we read the scripture now. Don't deceive yourself that I don't want people to know. Jesus is here now to rescue you. It is not about the people. The people you don't want to know, they have bigger challenges. And they also don't want you to know. You are in any of those categories right now, put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you. And if you are doing that this morning, online and on ground, the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. If you are doing that right now, just repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you today just as I am. I know I'm a sinner. But I know you died for me. And on the third day you rose again, that I might be justified. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Thank you, Lord, because now I am born again. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. Let the same grace preserve them. These ones will never go back to perdition again. They will begin to take root downwards and bear fruit upwards to the praise and glory of your name. Thank you, eternal Father. In Jesus' most precious name, we have prayed. Amen. Now you said that prayer in your heart. Why don't you wave those hands to Jesus? Online and on ground, church, I thought you are clapping. Online and on ground, you said that prayer. For those who are on ground, online, the Lord bless you, my brother. The Lord bless you. For those who are online, send a text message to the number that has been displayed right now, and somebody will get in touch with you. Let's not deceive ourselves. If you are in that category, any one of them, come out now. The King of Glory is the one sending and calling you. Not man, not woman, not pastor. No one is calling for you. Please come out quickly. Let God deliver. Let God deliver you. Church, keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Keep clapping. Glory to God. Father, we thank you. We exalt and magnify you. For these precious souls, accept him. It's repentance Lord, accept it. Amen. Turn him to a new leaf. Amen. Whatsoever it is he came out for, you know it. King of glory, turn his story around. Amen. Let him come back here with testimonies. Amen. And let your name only be glorified. Thank you, Holy One. In Jesus' precious name. The Lord bless you, my brother, for your sincerity. Please take a look at this precious kingdom, friends. They have a few words to share with you. And one of the pastors will also be with you in Jesus' precious name. Glory to God. Now, somebody is here right now, very quickly, before we close, just 30 seconds. Lift up your voice. Whatsoever you desire in marriage, if you are there already, it is sweet. You want it to be sweeter, ask Jesus. If it is honey, you want it to be honeyer, ask Jesus. If there are cracks, you want him to fix it, ask him. If you are unmarried, you want to be unmarried, you want to be married, give him a date. Give him a date right now. You are unmarried, you want to be married, give him a date. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you and thank you and thank you, Lord. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. Amen. In Jesus' precious name we have prayed. Amen. As you have said, so will you see. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name. Help me congratulate your neighbor on your right and left. Hallelujah. Please be seated comfortably.